Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show. Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Crisco fourth in this week for Andy Bunker, who is on vacation. Glad to be hanging out with you. Glad to be with my guy, Randy McMichael, as we have got a lot of stuff to get into. I tell you, Randy, for there being no sports going on right now, between the Braves making some moves and some NFL stuff happening and all of the bubble talk coming out of the NBA, MLS getting cranked back up, there's some stuff going on right now. It's not quite the dead period we might have thought July would be this year.
No, it's not. And usually, you know, we outside of baseball, you know, around this time, because, you know, me and you have been on the weekends working the part-time hours trying to come up with some content, man. But, yeah, it's been pretty good so far. And, you know, let's just hope that it continues to be – let's just hope it's just good news. We don't want any setbacks and things like that. But, the Braves are making moves as we get closer to the MLB. NFL is chugging along, still trying to figure out what they want to do. Basketball's back. You know, MLS, we know United is playing tomorrow morning. I think WNBA is about to start up. I think they're about to start up their season and everything, too. So, I mean, you got a lot that's going on right now. And is there such a thing as being cautiously excited?
I think that's a pretty good way to put it. Actually,
yeah, I'm cautiously excited about where things are going right now. How about that? Should I say is that good?
Okay. And I'm trying to stay optimistic about everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you have to be, man, because Chris, if stuff don't go our way this fall, I'm gonna lose it. It's gonna be tough, man.
It will legitimately be tough. And Jason Longshore and I talked about this back July 3rd when we were in for you and Andy that day about the fact that, you know, it is okay as a sports fan, as a football fan, it is okay to want to see the games return and to want to see football. That is perfectly fine. That doesn't mean that you want to see people get sick or people die. You just want your sport to come back.
I agree. I agree 100% with that. But, yeah, I'm just going to sit back. I'm just going to try and keep a positive attitude. Like, for a minute, Chris, because, you know, when we were talking, when the baseball was going through their thing, hell, me and Andy lost all hope. I was like, I'm done with baseball. I don't even want to date. And right now, I had to go back through the process because I broke up with baseball, and now I'm dating. And so right now, I'm on to the next phase after a couple dates that baseball is taking me on. That, you know, it might be an overnight stay possibly. That's it. That's where I'm at with baseball right now. All right? I'm not going all the way in with it yet until I actually see something going on as far as regular season games being played and that goal for the World Series.
It's funny how we all turn, don't we? After swearing it off when all that labor dispute stuff was going on and all of a sudden to get back, yeah, welcome back baseball. It's time to get to the NFL No Huddle as we kick off this 11 o'clock hour.
We're going No Huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go!
This hour brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. It's another way they make you smile. The NFL Players Association seeking opt-out clauses. Randy, we talked about this. I believe it was on Monday. Now the players they've sent a proposal to the owners. They're asking for an opt-out clause for at-risk players to still get paid. No bonuses, but still get their salary. An opt-out clause for players who have at-risk families to earn an accrued season and benefits if they decide not to play, an opt-out clause for players who leave the team after reporting, and then a $250,000 stipend that is guaranteed to all players if they show up to camp. That amount goes up to $500,000, $500,000 if the season starts and then they have to shut it down.
Yeah, man, when I saw this, I was like, damn, the player's coming with a strong, strong offer right now. And that's, you know, those are the types of tactics that you have to deal with. You sometimes when you're dealing with the owners, especially, I can only talk for the sport I play, because they're greedy as hell. They're greedy as hell, Chris, and they will try to find a way to not pay you what you think you should be paid. And so, I mean, this is just something that's thrown out there. I'm not sure if the players will get any or all of that, but I'm sure they'll find a way to get some common ground, because you do, as a player, we said it yesterday, the owners are about the money, the players are about protecting themselves. And I think when you look at it from the player's aspect of it, I mean, they're the ones at risk. The owner ain't got to come to the game. The owner can stay at his mansion. The owner can stay on his boat. The owner can, you know, he can watch the game from his airplane. So the players are the ones that are putting themselves at risk, is actually going out there and actually playing the actual football game. So, you're still at the beginning part. And if you look at it, hell, the Texans and the Chiefs, their rookies are still supposed to report on Saturday. So we'll see how that goes. We keep your eye out for that, because, I mean, they're talking about teams starting to, get themselves ready for training camp, and there's still no protocol that we know of publicly of what they're going to do to get these guys in the building and how they're going to protect them once they're in the building.
Sir, NFL No Huddle here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the Midday Show and the Radio.com app. Big news yesterday in the NFL. Cleveland Browns are finalizing a massive five-year extension worth $125 million for star pass rusher Myles Garrett. Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network and NFL.com, had this to say about the Browns and Garrett.
Remember, Barry was part of the Browns front office that drafted Myles Garrett number one overall back in 2017. You mentioned how they stood behind him even after the accusations that he had made. There was obviously a lot that went into that suspension. There was some back and forth. But this is a player who has been super disruptive. He is 24 years old, and now he is set to become the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. That $25 million new money average would surpass Khalil Mack's $23.5 million new money average. Garrett still had 2 years left on his rookie deal worth close to $20 million. So this deal now, once it's finalized, will tie Garrett to Cleveland through 2026.
Damn.
I'm interested to see, Randy, how much money he gets up front in this. And what kind of a salary cap it is going to be. I think, and we also had another one yesterday. We had Chris Jones, the defensive tackle for the Chiefs, that got a new four-year deal. $80 million, $37 million of that due at signing, though, $60 million guaranteed for injury, $5 million in incentives. It totals $85 million. But this is what I think both the Browns and the Chiefs are trying to do. You tell me if you think I'm going in the right direction with this. I think what we're seeing with both of these teams is kind of what Denver did with Peyton Manning, where you pay about 10 guys – and then everybody else is either going to be on some sort of one-year veteran deal or some sort of team-friendly contract. But there's going to be about 10 guys on both of those teams that are going to get paid.
Well, the thing with it is that they had to do this for Myles Garrett. I mean, they had the money to do it. They had the money to do it. And we know that as long as you have a rookie quarterback on his original rookie deal, you're able to do things like that. And, I mean, it makes only sense. He is a hell of a football player, a disruptive football player that, you know, that has a skill set that people are looking for now. He gets after the quarterback. That's what he does. He gets the quarterback and he gets him on the ground. That's the most important thing. And when you look at how the Browns are being built, I heard that this morning, Chris. This is the first time since 2010 that the Browns have had a first-round pick that has signed an extension. Now, just think about that. Think about that, how bad they have been as an organization. For the first time in 10 years that you have got a first-round pick that is signed an extension. That, I mean, no wonder they've had so many GMs and head coaches and all this stuff. But it's been one constant, I think, and that's that raggedy owner that they got up there. But, yeah, good for Miles. And, you know, we always talk about we want our kids to throw a football. Hell, I want my kids to be a pass rusher. I mean, look at the loot that they making nowadays. That, I mean, that's a monster, monster deal for a player that's 24 years old. And by the end of this, he won't even be 30 by the time he gets, by the time he's up for a new deal. So, I mean, kudos to Myles Garrett.
Adam Schefter has said that he thinks there'll be fewer long-term deals based on COVID-19 and the uncertainty of the future. Clearly, as you mentioned, the Browns had to move for Myles Garrett. I think the Chiefs did what they did with Chris Jones. Remember, they signed Patrick Mahomes to an extension, so he's still got two more years. So that fat contract that Mahomes just signed, it doesn't even go into effect, really, for till what, 2022, I guess? The 2022 season is when that is when that is going to start. What do you think? Do you see we see fewer and fewer, especially now with the deadline today for guys like Dak Prescott, guys like Derrick Henry, to either sign or play under the franchise tag? What do you think happens going forward?
Well, I mean, this was the I think it was next year that everybody was talking about that new TV money that was coming in, and guys are looking forward to a free agency. I think it's either this year or the 2021 or 2022. But with that being said, yeah, I mean, because you don't know the financial ramifications of everything that's going to go on. And the one thing that you, if you're a franchise player and all those things, I mean, I remember, you know, not too long before I came in the league, being franchise tag was a good thing. You were like, okay, cool. I ain't got to come to camp. All I got to do is show up. My man, Orlando Pace, he was the best at it. Or Big O, okay, your franchise is cool. I'll see y'all the first week of the season. I'll see y'all on that Monday. You know, that's what the franchise player would do. But now it's not as good because of the people want that long term security. And how is it going to go if, say, for instance, they're cutting back games, or, you know, they might take out three games or four games, all these things. So that means you're losing that money, because obviously if you don't play the full 17 weeks, they're obviously going to take, you know, prorated to maybe 14 weeks or something like that. I'm assuming, I don't know for a fact, but I mean, everybody wants that long-term security, Chris. I don't see a lot of 10-year contracts like Patrick Mahomes got, but I can see more four-year deals, because the thing with Myles Garrett, like you said, he had 2 years left. So you're projecting that, okay, we're going to give him an extension on top of that, because he has looked like he's going to be that projected, you know, dominant edge rusher that you picked him at as the number one overall pick. So I can see more of that, especially with first rounders, them getting their contracts with more of a with 2 years left on their deal, so you can stretch that out over the length of the contract. But yeah, I still think that there will be long-term deals. I don't know. If there's going to be that long-term deal money, that's the thing about it, because you don't know how to manage a cap, because the cap could stay flat or it could go down next year.
Well, if the NFL plays without fans this year, it is expected to lose about $3 billion. Not lose $3 billion. Let me rephrase that. The revenues will be down about $3 billion.
Right.
That's the case, the salary cap could drop about 15-20% next year. And I think that's a big deal, because if the salary cap goes down, think about all those guys that are already signed for 2021 and 2022, that you're going to have to cut what may be some of your best players. You're going to have to make some decisions on some guys that you don't want to have to make.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the downside of having a hard cap like the NFL does. You can't keep everybody, and you know, where the Chiefs are right now is that they are in a position where they still got to give Travis Kelce a new contract. Schwartz, he might be the best right tackle in football. I'm assuming he's going to want some more money. I mean, they are in it to win it right now. I mean, they're in it to win it right now, and they're built to win it right now, because they got, 20 of their 22 starters coming back. So, I mean, there's always a difficult decision. Same thing with the Cowboys. The Cowboys, I mean, I ain't no Cowboy fan. Can't stand the Cowboys. But I know one thing. They built to win a championship this year. They have a hell of a roster. They can just play up to their damn potential, which they didn't last season. So, I mean, that could be another reason why they haven't signed Dak, because they don't know what's the salary cap going to be that. I think they should have signed him last season, and they wouldn't be in the mess that they're in right now. But they decided to pay Jalen Smith. They decided to play DeMarcus Lawrence, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, all these, Lyle Collins, all these guys you decide to pay, but you don't pay your damn quarterback, which is just so odd to me.
If Dak is tagged this year, he'll make $31.4 million. If they tag him again next year, Randy, he makes $37.7 million. Yeah. That is nearly $70 million over the course of 2 years. That is more than any quarterback, or for that matter, that is more than any player in the NFL will make over the next 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the thing with it is Jerry didn't put him in himself, but Chris, I said this maybe a couple months ago. I was like, when we started talking about the whole Dak contract and everything, would there be a bidding war for Dak Prescott?
How old would he be?
I'm talking about this year right here. Would there have been a bidding war for Dak Prescott coming into this year? Like right now. If they didn't put the franchise tag on, I think Dak will be signed. But I'm just saying, would there be a bidding war? Like, I think Jerry looks at it possibly as him bidding against himself. And that's the one thing that a lot of times when you see in contracts, you know, how much interest was in this player as far as other teams negotiating with him. And sometimes maybe Jerry's looking at it that way. Why do I have to give you $36 million? Ain't nobody else going to give it to you. But I tell you what, I'll give you this $33. But, I mean, if I'm Dak, because you compare – his draft class with Carson Wentz and Goff, they got their deals with 2 years left. Well, hell, Dak ain't got no years left. Dak is a free agent. Well, he's a franchise player now, but Dak didn't have that extra security as a first round pick with the fifth year option. Dak played his contract out. Dak should get paid. I said it yesterday. Why does everybody don't want Dak to get paid? It just baffles me. Dak don't deserve. Well, Dak deserves whatever the Cowboys want to give him and what he's willing to take. But Dak deserves to be paid. Don't get Dak deserves his money. And it ain't because he's next. It's because he's played well. 40 wins in 4 years, that's pretty good.
$31.4 million with a franchise tag this year, and that money hits the cap. I mean, that is all cap money. All of that is salary. So, and the other part of that, too, if you're Dak Prescott, $31.4 million, and I'm assuming he's okay. I don't think Dak is struggling to pay his bills
now. Dak makes he makes so much money off the field, Chris. This guy, yeah. he damn near endorses everything.
But you don't see that money. You don't see that $31.4 million start to trickle in until the season actually starts.
Oh, correct. Oh, yeah, he ain't getting out. No. Them are all game checks. So, with 17 weeks divided by $31 million, that's what he gets per week.
Wow. All right, that's a look at the NFL. No huddle. We'll come back. We'll dive into college football a little bit. Some college football coaches on the hot seat this year. Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports wrote an article earlier in the week saying, hey, look, these guys, you may not be able to fire some of these guys. Could Clay Helton get another year at Southern Cal? It could happen. We'll talk about that when we continue on. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The outbreak of the coronavirus has affected us all here in Atlanta, and it's made some changes in the sports world as well. As the stories continue to break, we're here to give you the latest. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's the scary part, that you could see the Pac-12 theoretically or someone else not play college football, and maybe two or three other leagues do play. But right now, that is how chaotic college football is. I know baseball seems like it's up in the air, but they have a commissioner. College football has nothing.
That's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app. That's Paul Feinbaum talking about chaos in college football.
But Paul, he's been real lately. You know, he just been, I don't want to say he's at a negative Nancy, but Paul don't think football going to happen.
Doesn't sound like it, does it?
If you listen to Paul don't sound – Paul ain't one of the positive people that you didn't listen to if you want football. He might be one of the realest as far as, you know, having a more, you know, unfan-like perspective, because Paul loves college football just as much as everybody else, but sometimes you need that perspective that it might be the truth, but you don't want to believe it's the truth. And that's what he's been doing lately, man. I was like, damn, Paul, cheer up. Paul been going through it lately, but yeah, hopefully he's wrong. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot to uncover because of the same thing that we've been saying about the NCAA, especially football. There's no damn leadership. There's no leadership at the top that governs over all of it. Now it's supposed to, but it just doesn't. And that's going to be what's going to, if this thing doesn't come back, of course, we know it's because of the virus and all that. But also, you know, if you have one conference that's not playing and another conference that's playing 10 games and another conference is maybe playing 12 games, that just goes back to the leadership of everything, because I thought these guys would at least sit together and come up with a plan united, but obviously not. Big Ten's like, we're doing this. What y'all doing? That's like, you know, you meet a girl at the bar. Y'all finish doing your business. Hey, I'm about to go to sleep. What you about to do? You know, I mean, that's just where they are right now.
We'll continue our look at our make-believe SEC Media Days. Chris Blair, the play-by-play voice of the LSU Tigers, he will join us coming up at 12:20 today. We'll talk about those defending national champions. Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports wrote an article basically saying that college football coaches could get a mulligan for the 2020 season. He's got a point, Randy. It's really going to be hard for somebody to gauge a coach during a pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, we can say the same thing about the football team here in Atlanta, you know, as far as with the Falcons. Yeah. I mean, these are different times than any coaches have to be in. I mean, you can't get really hands-on with your players. You can't have them on the field. I'm sorry, as far as you running things, you don't know when they're going to report to camp. I mean, there's so many things that, you know, that all coaches are going through. It's just not coaches on the hot seat. Even Nick Saban's going through this. Dabo Sweeney's going through this. The best coaches in America are going through all these different changes that they're not used to right now. And so I think that I don't know who that bodes best for. I mean, because if you're a good coach, you can coach through anything. But at the same time, if you're a coach that was coming into the season, oh, you got to win or else. But you're not able to get a hold of your players. You're not able to have spring practice. You might start the season late. I mean, there's so many different things that we've never seen before that if you're a coach that not necessarily – okay, you're a coach that's on the fence, you might get a pass. You definitely might. I mean, that is definitely a possibility out there for everybody.
Randy, if you and I would have talked in February, early March, and I would have told you that Clay Helton would not lose to Alabama or Notre Dame this year, you would have had me committed.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I don't feel bad for him, but I mean, has there been any coach in the last few years that's been like fired and not fired than him? You remember when he was fired and then all of a sudden it got out he's fired, but then he sends out a picture he at one of the recruits' house? Like, I mean, that coach, they've been fired and hired and not fired more than anybody I've seen in recent memory, man. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, they want to change out there in USC. But I think, you know, USC goes big. I think that's been the problem with USC lately. They haven't went big. USC is a big-time program. And until they become relevant again, the Pac-12 won't become relevant. I don't care about Oregon. They're pretty uniform. That division in that side of the country, it's all about the damn Trojans. As long as the Trojans stink, ain't nobody going to be studying the Pac-12.
The average buyout, according to Dennis Dodd, and again, this article is on CBSSports.com. You can find it there. The average buyout among the nation's top 10 highest paid coaches is $29 million.
Woo-hoo.
Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, his buyout is $22.6 million. That's larger than the entire athletic budget of three FCS schools.
And Brian said it in our pre-show meeting that, you know, that could be a reason why these guys might not be fired, because of the buyout aspect of it and the pandemic and not knowing where the funds and how it's going to be. Because how did Kirk Ferentz not lose his job when the strength coach lost his job? I mean, you remember that whole thing that happened with that and everything? And a lot of that could have been because of the buyout type thing. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that. But, yeah, these coaches' buyouts are humongous. And they're at a point where – hell yeah, he stinks, but hell, we don't have that $6 million or that $10 million that we have to pay him to leave. Because that's basically what the buyout is. I'm giving you $10+ million, not the coach. I don't want you coaching here no more. And so when you look at where we are, you know, and the revenue that might not come in for college football, yeah, it's gonna be hard to release some of these guys or their duties if they stink. Because they can't afford to let them go. And then that's not even the best. Then you got to hire another coach.
Right.
You know, then you got to go hire another coach to replace that guy that you're paying, not the coach. So, I mean, there's going to be some coaches that probably, if this thing does get started, and, you know, they're in the hot seat, like, well, damn, we can't afford to let him go. So, let's just keep him around for two more years to get his buyout down and hopefully and pray that they might turn things around.
Will Muschamp at South Carolina. He was nearly fired last season. I mean, they were reportedly calling Florida State to find out what Florida State did to fire Willie Taggart to see if South Carolina couldn't do the same thing and get rid of Will Muschamp. So he's another guy that's coming into this, much like Clay Helton, Derek Mason up at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Another guy. And Vanderbilt has been, by the way, if there is one SEC school that has been very non-committal about whether or not they want to play this year, it's been Vanderbilt.
It's Vandy, so who cares? But yeah, Derek Mason's a guy, too, that was on that hot seat. And like you say, he's on it. Like, I think a lot of people were surprised that Derek kept his job last year. A lot of us, I know I was. But, I mean, he's a high-demand defensive coordinator that, you know, if he's no longer the head coach there, oh, he's going to get paid because of the fact that he's a superstar-type defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think, again, especially if you're only talking about if you only play 8-9 games, I don't know how you can adequately get a really be able to judge, especially if they're only playing conference games too. Because look, we talk about Clay Helton at USC, and I'm going to pull up USC their schedule real quick, because you take Alabama and Notre Dame, which I think most people would have viewed as kind of being litmus test for USC coming into the season. You take those two games off the board for them. I mean, what does that mean now? Like, the only other game that I can think of, and I'm going off the top of my head until I can get this pulled up, it seems like they play at Oregon. That's right. Here's the schedule. So you take Alabama out of it. Now, they do have a road trip to Stanford. That could be tough. They're at Utah, at Oregon. But they get Washington at home, Colorado, California, Arizona State. Those games are all set to be at home. So the one stumbling block you see out there for USC in this schedule, if that's all they play is a Pac-12 schedule, is just that one road trip to go to Oregon.
Yeah, and I mean that's one thing when you look at the cancellation of games or just the conference only schedule. Like, there were so many fun out of conference matchups this year, Chris. There were some big time games with big time programs going against each other, man. And that's the thing I hate, that you're gonna lose that, because for years we've been begging for these types of games. We've been begging for USC and Bama and Michigan, Washington, and Georgia. Well, I don't want to say Virginia, but you know what I'm talking about. We've been begging for these games, and now that they're here, just to lose those games, I mean, that's just, I mean, as a fan of college football, those are the ones that you're going to miss the most. Now, I won't take, I'm not going to turn down an all SEC schedule. Hell no. Give me something. And if anything, some of the I'm not an SEC homer. I'm all about Georgia, but I do still think the SEC is the best conference. If I could just get all that ball, I'll take all that. I mean, if that's what we are right now, because I think this is just me personally myself. I am in the mindset of just give me something. Just give me some. I mean, it might not, because there's no way you're going to get the norm as we stand right now as a country. There's no way we're going to get it. And so give me some. Man, I'll take – if Georgia got to play Vanderbilt three times a season, I'm going to sit right here and watch all three times, because I love me some Georgia – I love my Georgia Bulldogs. So we'll see, and we'll see how this continues to grow, because they're running out of time. Just like Sankey said, they're running out of time, Chris, and they need some kind of plan in by August 1st, I think.
Randy, if you told Greg Sankey right now, look, you're going to be able to play 9 to 10 games, SEC only games, and be able to get through the season, I think he would take that in a heartbeat right now.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because here's the deal, people are going to watch.
Yeah.
And people may watch more.
That could be a possibility, but no.
So
if they're going to do that, no, he definitely had to jump on that right there. Because I think that's what – I mean, I think a lot of people are waiting to see what the SEC does. They are, and that decision, they met Monday, that decision's not going to come down this week, I don't think. But, I mean, everybody's waiting to see what they're going to do, because the Big Ten gave themselves a lot of flexibility. That's why whenever we talk since these sports have been announced and they're coming back, Chris, I always say, is it pencil or is it pen? Is it pencil or is it pen? I don't know what the Big Ten's agreement to go just a straight conference game is in. Is it pencil or is it pen, or is this an announcement of this is what we're doing? Because the flexibility that they have is that they can put all their conference games to start the season and back in if everything is still going well. I don't know how they do it, but can you pick up one of these squads that you let, like a throw a Cincinnati or somebody like that. Can you throw them in at the back end of the schedule? I don't know.
We'll see who's still on the sidelines to start the 2021 schedule. We'll step into the Windy Zone when we return. It is the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Imagine you like listening to John and Hugh. Now imagine bringing them with you anywhere with the Radio.com app. Download our app and listen anytime to any show.
Or stream on your smart device.
You can even rewind up to 24 hours and catch things you missed.
Download the Radio.com app now from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
Time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Wendy Zone brought to you by Wellstar. More than healthcare, people care. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great, Wendy. How are you, Wendy?
I'm doing pretty good.
Wendy has a cool little bracelet. She just she didn't show it to me. She just told me about it.
It's on my Insta story at Wendy Radio, and it's a unicorn slap bracelet. So it is a plush unicorn sort of stuffed animal on the top and of an attached slap bracelet. Did you guys ever have slap bracelets?
Yes, of course. Of course we did, Wendy.
Well, Chris,
no.
Did you have one?
What? No. No.
You never had a slap bracelet?
No. Not really a bracelet guy.
But not even as a kid? Like, I don't know. They were cool.
They were cool.
You got them for the quarter like machine at like the grocery store?
No, I always bought the little mini football helmets. I got a shoebox full of those. That's what I always got out of those machines.
You still have the ones from when you were a kid?
Yep.
That's amazing. I can appreciate that. But if you want to see the cool slap bracelet that I'm just obsessed with now, just go to Wendy Radio on my Instagram. Well, guys, I've been talking about stories all week, and it sticks to the same theme. So it's time for
NBA Bubble Burst, the latest news popping out of Orlando.
That's pretty good.
You guys like that, right?
That's pretty good.
We're calling
right there.
It the NBA bubble burst because there's been stories coming out all week and probably will continue to be coming out about the NBA bubble down in Orlando. First, it started on Monday with that Instagram model coming out and saying she got invited to the bubble. Then you had Rashawn Holmes. He is now under quarantine because he got a food delivery. And now the latest comes from this.
I know when that hotline bling.
Oh. What?
So if you haven't heard, the NBA is using an anonymous hotline for people and players to report potential violations of health and safety protocols. Well, Shams Charania of The Athletic reported the following on his Twitter, saying multiple tips have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus. He says some players have received warnings from violations, sources said, as league ensures social distancing and mask protocols on campus. So there have been some snitches going around in the bubble.
Well, you know what they say, but snitches get... Man, look, I understand. Everybody, you want your peer to be responsible and everything. And we had a lot of fun with this, Chris, when we first found out about it. And, you know, of course, everybody's going at Chris Paul because he is the president of the PA. I mean, I don't get it, you know, because in actuality, could it be just a ploy to get somebody in trouble? Like somebody on like you might be playing them that night and you're like, hey, Jimmy Butler was over there doing, you know, I think that's probably what it was.
Well, Jimmy Butler got called out.
Oh, Jimmy did get called out?
Apparently, there was a complaint coming from his hotel room of thumping. So when security came and knocked on the door, there was Jimmy Butler drenched in sweat with practice gear on head to toe. He was dribbling a basketball throughout his room. So some player used that NBA hotline to tattletale on Jimmy Butler.
You damn snitch. Oh, man. Now, and then my thing is like this. I wonder this, Chris. If they call in, do they have to tell who they are? You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean,
it's
just
anonymous.
I'm just saying, when you talk about anonymous, I mean, people can just be, well, obviously Jimmy was doing something because he was drilling the ball. What time was he drilling the ball? Man,
I don't know.
Man, quit being a softy.
Well,
on
the dribbling of the basketball, have you ever lived in an apartment and you lived on the bottom floor apartment and the apartments had real thin walls and you could hear the just the neighbors upstairs just walking around heavy. I'm like, can you walk around quieter? I wish we would have had a hotline, an anonymous apartment hotline where you can tattle on your neighbors.
Never done that. I've never ever called the authorities on a neighbor before. Never. I know I'm loud as hell too. I know I'm loud as hell. And so, like, I think my first apartment in Miami, it was a kid. You know, they played the music loud. I just went over there nicely, asked their parents, hey, could y'all have your baby turn down the music? Music was fine, never had another complaint about it. So, I mean, damn snitches, man. These NBA dudes, man, they so jealous of each other and so all that stuff, man. It's going to be a problem, and it ain't going to be because of the virus. It's going to be because one of them going to sit there and snitch on the wrong thing because you know it's coming. Somebody going to snitch about a girl. You remember the guy yesterday from the Kings? It was another kid. Now, how dumb can you be? And this is what I say. It just sometimes, Lord ain't bless everybody with the same type of intellect level. And I'm just talking about of common sense. They say you have to be in your room for a certain amount of time. This fool walks out the room just down the hallway. No, you're supposed to stay in your room the whole time, fool. And now he got to go back in quarantine for 10 days. Like, that's just common sense to me that, okay, I know it says 48 hours. That's 2 days. Okay, I'm at the 36-hour mark. You know what? Let me walk down here and get some ice out the ice machine. You know, just dumb.
Two things, Randy. One, how much do you think this is just guys being bored?
Oh, yeah. I think it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah,
I'm sure it does because right now they're in the situation. How long have they been there? A week now? I mean, they got a long damn time. I get it. You got to find something to get into because think about it. They're still just a bunch of adolescents too, in theory, as far as their mind thinking the way they think. They still want to have fun, and now it seems like you're prevented from having fun. But I've seen videos of people on fishing trips and golfing and all these things. Saw that Kyle Kuzma then was on the water slide. I mean, there are things to do. It's not what you're usually typical of doing, but I mean, just make the best of it because it's not going to be the end of the world. I mean, you're going home soon. You'd rather be one of the last teams to leave because that means you're playing for a championship. But yeah, this niche hotline, it's going to be funny, man. The more time they get in there, the funnier it's going to be, man. I wonder if guys are like muzzling their voices too. Yeah, because, you know, LeBron has a distinct voice. You know, yeah. You know, like LeBron has a distinct voice. I wanted them dudes down there like muzzling they mouth or something like that.
I also wonder too, I mean, given that they're staying at Disney hotels, I would think if you're doing something, if you're out of your room, you've got to be on video somewhere. So if someone calls and they say, hey, we saw this guy out of his room or this guy doing what he's not supposed, whatever it was, something he's not supposed to be doing. I would think that they've got enough video footage there that they could go and look this stuff up to be able to verify it so that, Randy, we don't have what you're talking about of guys just trying to get somebody on the other team in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's probably cameras on each floor and everything, but the thing with it is, let's see, how do I say this? Like, there's blind spots on the floor, you know, and usually it's like, yeah. So there's blind spots on the floor because I'm just going to leave it at that. So I'm sure they find ways to get it because you can't tell me that there's 24-hour security on the floor every time. So you got to get the routine of when the cop goes for a smoke or when he goes to the bathroom. And then, you know, you work your magic or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, this is just going to be so funny because now there's nothing else to do. But now that this is out there in the atmosphere as far as the snitch phone, everybody's going to be monitoring now. And there's going to be stories coming out all the time about somebody snitching on somebody, man. But my thing is, are they snitching because they want a competitive advantage or are they genuinely worried about their health and this person might be doing something stupid that might get somebody sick?
Sounds like you really have some inside knowledge of how all this works, well, Randy. Okay. Is this some training camp stories coming out here?
Again, Chris, I ain't always been married. All right, I know the ins and outs of things. All right, I was sneaky. I did some things that that single players do. All right, and I learned from other single players.
Did you ever snitch? No,
I would never snitch. I'll never ever. I'm not no snitch. My mama almost beat the black off me one time because I went snitch. I'm not snitching. You know, she whooped me, and then she took me to the police station. You know, she took me to the MP. She whooped me, and then she took me to the MP station after the whooping. And I still went snitch. I ain't snitching now. Now, it just depends now because I'm at an age right now that I ain't got a lot more years left. So if you robbing a bank, and I might be in the car while you robbing the bank, you damn right I'm telling. I wouldn't, hey, Judge. It was him. I ain't doing a bid for you. And you didn't tell me that you were doing it. Oh, yeah. Now, that ain't snitching. That's just smart, Chris. I ain't going to that place. Yeah, I'm in the car waiting on you. Say, just wait right here. Next thing you know, I hear alarms coming out, and you get the car moving. No. You know, Chris, I ain't even going to drive off. I'm just going to sit right there. No, I'm waiting for the police. Yeah, no, bro. And that ain't going to happen.
Thanks, Wendy.
Got it, guys.
That's a look at TWZ for today. We'll get to our big clip of the day next, and then coming up a little later on, about 30 minutes or so from right now, Chris Blair, the play-by-play voice of the defending national champions in college football, the LSU Tigers. He will join us. We'll continue our make-believe SEC Media Days. It was supposed to be going on for real this week. Pandemic screwed that up. So we're talking a little bit of SEC football, previewing a different team every day this week. Today, we'll talk about those LSU Tigers with Chris Blair. We'll get to our big clip of the day next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.